Welcome to the Onyx Dynasty. This is Snap Reactions, tight end position, week four. Get right to it here. Arizona, 32 of 35 dropbacks were the route participation for Zach Ertz. Tight end four on the season, 6 for 47 and a touchdown. So right up there again. I'm coming to more of a theme of this, and I think it might be a hole in the dynasty game to some degree, and I think there's probably a hole in the market. If you have seen an elite player, if a player has been elite, you have to sort of bet on that profile, and we are too quick to discount that. I think that's a lesson learned. It's a lesson learned throughout dynasty. Is you know, with the Barkley example is a good one, which I was guilty of. You know, Zach Ertz has been elite for periods of time. Kelsey, right? People selling low on Brady, right? Like, you know, these elite profiles, I think we tend to sell too quickly, and they tend to be pretty durable as compared to whatever you're trying to get that passes them, right? So again, this is just kind of density, right? The density argument basically living itself out. In the form of specific players that we just have to keep in mind is happening with. So Zach Ertz is one of those examples. He's just one of those examples. Plugging along to 8.2 yards per reception. Trey McBride did flash a little bit. Targeted 3 times on 6 routes. 3 catches for 24 yards. So he's firmly back burner right now, but seeing a little bit more involvement. So Atlanta, what does Arthur Smith know that we don't? Pitts ran 12 routes on 20 dropbacks. It's only 60% route participation. Played 34 of 55 snaps, again, about 60% or so. 1 for 25, an absolute disaster. He has 25 points on the season in straight PPR. Travis Kelce has 76, right? The common question early on in the season was, or in the offseason was, Andrews or Pitts? And I think I leaned Andrews. I have realized now that it was a mistake to lean Andrews. I should have pressed fully into Andrews, right? And I think that you just look, the difference between a top 3 and a top 1 finish at tight end is pretty big. It's a really small universe of guys that have done it. And you just take that profile and you bet on it, and you bet on it, and you bet on it. And this is an example of that, right? Kelce and Andrews are lapping the position. Hockenson had a big game this week, but after that, right? Like, Hockenson's up to tight end 3, and he's 16 points behind Kelce. He's 6 behind Andrews, right? There's just a big, huge gap there, and I think that he's 14 points behind Kelce. So there's just a big, huge gap there, and what you see with a guy like Pitts is like there's a lot of. It's not a clear. Straightforward path to being that. And I think that one of the things that people just sort of assume is that a player will sort of take that next step when we don't realize it's not a linear step, right? It's a massive, massively elevated step from tight end 3 up to tight end 1 or tight end 5 up to tight end 1. Like, those are huge, huge gaps. And I think that we're seeing some regression from Pitts in a way that probably wasn't expected, but maybe it was even more. Maybe we should have expected it more than we would have taken the step forward, right? That's kind of the thing that I'm looking at these tight end profiles in hindsight and appreciating might be a little bit different. So for what that's worth, that's just some research I've been working on. Andrews, again, tight end 2 on the season. So just turning to Baltimore here, tight end 2 on the season for Andrews, again, really, really strong season. And I think ultimately, like, you're going to see, you're going to see Andrews and Kelce battling it out for a tight end 1 type finish, right? I think that's where we're going to see. And Kelce ahead by about 60 yards in receptions, in receiving yards and 2 receptions, which is basically the 8-point gap in regular PPR. That adds up to a couple more points in your 2 PPR formats. But clear head of the table in terms of the dynasty, in terms of the season-long finishes there. Andrews 27, Kelce 33. Buffalo, pretty limited usage for Dawson Knox. 29 of 42 routes he ran, 6 targets, 3 for 40. When you look at him for the season, again, it's a lot of the stuff was touchdown related that you were kind of hoping for coming into the season. He is tight end 22 without any touchdowns. So again, you one of the big sort of selling points for him was, hey, he's gonna get it. They're gonna get it close, and they're gonna throw it to him a bunch. We haven't seen the big growth in him as a player, which is kind of disappointing, frankly. You know, he's essentially been the same player his entire career. Hasn't really taken a big step forward. Just has gotten the better usage there. So I think that's somewhat disappointing. But yeah, through his four games so far, Knox has only 0.7 expected touchdowns, and he has zero. So that's a big step back in his performance through 4 weeks. Very, very different than where he was at last year. Next, turning to Chicago, Cole Kmet, 31 routes, 35 dropbacks. He went 3 for 16 on 3 targets. Pretty rough here. I saw this game, and they threw a tight end tunnel screen to him. It was like 3rd and 15. And it just got me. It reminded me of like those hostage videos where you see people, you're recording a hostage video, right, for the hostages, right, to put out, and it's like this propaganda piece, and the person is giving the middle finger to the camera as like a, hey, this isn't consensual, or like this is, you know, I'm not agreeing to this. This isn't what I actually mean. I'm in distress while I'm doing this, and all I could think about when I saw that tunnel screen was that it was the offense saying, we're just totally like capitulating. Like this is, we have to do this, but this is not what we want. And, throwing a tunnel screen to Cole Kmet on 3rd and 15, to like negative yardage was the offensive coordinator equivalent of giving the middle finger to the camera during a propaganda video. So, Kmet, pretty disappointing on the season. Hasn't gotten the volume I think a lot expected and hoped for coming into the season. Again, I he's another one we go back to, and he just sort of has a middling production profile through the start of his career, and people want him to take a big jump. It's almost always volume based, and you have to be careful about those particular jumps. So he's very much in the Logan Thomas range of the position was kind of what he needed, and that just isn't what they're going to do. So, pretty limited there for him. Again, maybe if he's in the outside the top 20 tight ends, I'm interested in his valuation. But as of right now, it's pretty tough to hold him, and he can't really be near lineups. Hayden Hurst, seeing a little bit of a bounce back, 25 routes, 36 dropbacks, 3 for 27 and a touchdown. He's tight end 14 on the season. So, again, he's a little bit of the aggregation going on for him, and just over a yard per route run in this game. But yeah, I mean, he's just going to play a lot in this offense. And when they throw the ball a lot, like, he's going to benefit his way to a low-end tight end one, high-end tight end two type finish, right? That's basically the role with which he has in this offense. So for what he's worth, like, he's a streamer type. He's a, you know, he's a flex play and 2 PPR, stuff like that for the tight end position. Joku, he's really starting to see, like, more and more route participation, too. Like, he's really, you know, one of the things that was kind of limited for him is he just didn't really get, like, I didn't love his sort of per route run stuff coming in to the season. And I was a little bit skeptical of like how much he was participating. They, of course, got rid of Austin Hooper. They signed him to a big contract, and I was like, all right, is the participation going to fall? 34 of 39 routes. So that's good to see, right? You want to see that those numbers continue, right? Being highly involved in that. That is 87%. So that's a really good number there. And then you look as well. 5 catches, 73 yards on 5 targets. Right? That's approaching almost 2 yards per route run. That's pretty good. The targets per route run's a little low there, but uh, some some pretty good overall production there when you look at it. Harrison Bryant ran 24 routes on 39 dropbacks. He went 4-for-18 on 6 targets. So just a name to keep in mind if something happens to Joku. Bryant could be a potential guy that steps up. Dallas, Dalton Schultz, 3 targets. He got blanked, 24 routes on 29 dropbacks. Ferguson played 17 snaps, ran 4 routes. Hendershot played 3 snaps. Again, Schultz has been battling some injury stuff. On the season, he is... on the season, Dalton Schultz is tight end 33. Again, he's only played 3 games, so he's at 5.7 points per game. Again, careful when you're making volume bets at tight end. I would just say that. Like, this is a consistent theme at this position. Right, bet on elite profiles and careful of volume bets at the position because this is what you kind of see. Speaking of volume bets, Albert Aquabonum, 1 snap. So Eric Saubert ran 27 routes and saw 2 targets. I don't know what to do with that information other than to say this Denver team's a disaster. But man, this is tough. Like I'm like, all right, well, hey, there's some pretty good stuff here. You could see, some potential Eric Saubert stuff in my waiver wire comp. And I'm like, I didn't even get that excited about it. You know, it's other than the fact that Albert O has basically been backburnered. This offense is in shambles. So pretty disappointing here for Albert O. I thought there was some good metric stuff for him. Totally laid an egg. I do want to go back and check in to see how the person that said that Albert, he was like a lock for like a top 5 season. I want to go and see how that's shaping up for him. All right, Detroit. Hockenson, career game. 8 catches, 179, 2 touchdowns. This... maybe the lesson from this is Detroit could score on under almost any circumstances, which is incredible with Jared Goff as their quarterback. 12 targets, 2 touchdowns, 36 routes, 4.97 yards per route run. Yes, you heard that correctly. 4.97 yards per route run on 36 routes. That is just an absolutely incredible performance by Hockenson. His best game of his career. Again, my question would be, right, does this change who we think he is? It's 1 game, right? So I'm not going to make a big change on where he's at. But I'm interested to see, it's like one of those things where a golfer wins a tournament, like kind of a young golfer wins a tournament, and all of a sudden he thinks of himself in a totally different light, right? I kind of wonder if that's not a situation like this for Hockenson, where he can just, maybe he takes it to a different level just because he didn't realize he sort of had this gear in him. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But again, tight end 3 on the season, it's a little bit, that feels a little bit fraudulent based off of this game. But yeah, ultimately, like he had the huge gain and everything. And a lot of this is kind of fueled by 1 huge catch, right? That's, if you kind of took that away, it would look a little bit more pedestrian of a game. It would still be a good game, but it wouldn't look as massive as this. So sort of keep that in mind with him. But again, total, I think changing the script on what his season was so far, good performance by him. We'll see if he can keep it up. All right, Tanyan, 37 dropbacks for Green Bay, 21 routes, 2 catches, 22 yards and a touchdown, tight end 16 on the season. This is a really tough place to live for a tight end. So he's very replaceable in terms of his production right now. This isn't a spot where he's running all the routes. This isn't a spot where he's being super productive on a low volume. He's just going along. And again, to get to tight end 16 isn't particularly difficult. He just doesn't really have the profile to really step it up this year, which gives me a little bit of disappointment because I thought he could have like a career high in volume. Just doesn't look like it's going to be the case. Houston, O.J. Howard led the team in tight end snaps and routes. 42 snaps, 42 snaps out of the 57 plays. 26 routes on 39 dropbacks. So that's pretty good. 2-for-27. Listen, we'll take it. We'll take it. He gets high volume and doesn't produce. He gets low volume and he produces out of his mind. Akins, basically the clear number 2 here behind him. Very similar stat line. But I'm interested to see O.J. Howard maybe take it a step forward. This could be a notable, right? It's taken him a month to come in here and lead this team. And it only took him, like a week after Jordan Akins got there and jumped in front of him for him to wrestle the lead job back. So we'll see here. They're going through some injuries at the tight end position. I'm not super optimistic putting him in lineups, but I'm interested to see. You know, it'd be nice to see if he actually turned his career around. We could use more tight ends. All right, Indy, Mo'Ali Cox, 26 routes, 41 dropbacks, 6 for 85, and 2 touchdowns on 6 targets. Listen, it's tough to play him because, like, last week it was Jelani Woods, right? 1 for 33 this week. Kylan Granson, 17 routes, 4 targets, 4 for 62. So there's some production going on at the tight end position, but, man, they're bad. This is a bad team. I don't trust Mo'Ali Cox the same way we don't trust Jelani Woods. Like, there might be a couple of weeks a year where something like this happens, but ultimately, like, are they going to be in your lineup? It's going to be really tough to sort of be in on that. So skeptical there, Mo'Ali Cox. Again, he's more of like maybe Adam, but I'm a little skeptical of him in lineups at this point. Jacksonville, they only played 47 snaps and 27 dropbacks. To sort of caveat that, Evan Engram 1 for 16 was his on 20 routes, so not a great game. I set in 13 on the season, but probably some of that was, you know, it was crummy weather. They didn't play a lot of snaps. Like, they didn't have a lot of volume. So just for what that's worth, like, his stat line's probably looking worse than it actually is in reality. So again, he's firmly on that tight end two type landscape with some flex appeal and two PPR. Kansas City. I found this stat amazing. Kyle Pitts has 25 points on the season in regular PPR. Travis Kelce had 21.5 in the first half of week 4. 9 for 92 and a touchdown. And Noah Gray ran the ball in for a touchdown. Joe Fortson, the third tight end on this team, 1 for 10 and a touchdown. So everyone gets on the board. It's a tight end-centric day for them. Good on Kansas City. Good on their production. Be interesting to watch here going forward if we don't see some more Noah Gray production. Right, he's playing not half the snaps, but he's playing some. He's playing, you know, just a little bit less than that, sort of the routes, I should say. That's kind of his lane, you know, somewhere between 30 and 50% of snaps in a week, or of routes in a week. So we kind of see if we can get him to come along a little bit more. They're using him in some different ways. I think that's interesting here. Not anywhere near lineups, but, you know, we kind of think about those guys like those day, you know, those guys that we like that are either late day two or day, you know, on day three that we like some of their profile stuff. Is it kind of like a year three, year four, kind of the back part of that that rookie contract time to break out? Be interested to sort of watch that for Noah Gray here over the next year or so. See how he could potentially grow as his career progresses. Gerald Everett, tight end 5 on the season, 25 routes on 40 dropbacks. He goes 5 for 61 and a touchdown. I was asked last year, why would you pay Jonnu Smith when you could pay Gerald Everett like a quarter of what you would pay Jonnu Smith? And like, Everett's been the right answer. So probably some of it's situational. Jonnu Smith's gotten hurt, so we'll see there. Donald Parham should be working his way back, so that might be a name you monitor on the waiver wire as well there. But Gerald Everett having a really good breakout season into his, you know, his third act at this point. 3 different teams, staying all on the West Coast there, going from the Rams to Seattle, now back to the Chargers. Good stuff there for him. It's exciting. You know, we need more talent at the tight end position. So to see a guy like Everett come along, again, one of those sort of late day two into day three guys producing. It's interesting. Actually, from that class, notably, from that class, that awesome class of 2017, he is the tight end 1 of that class on the season. So that's notable. Of course, Kittle missing time. Rams haven't played. I'm recording Monday afternoon. Vegas, Waller, 35 routes, 39 dropbacks, 5 targets. He goes 3 for 24. This was an Adams game. This was a Josh Jacobs game. Only 5 people caught balls, by the way. It was Hollins, Adams, Jacobs, Bolden, and Waller. So really constricted there. Again, if that's kind of where their offense is going to live, give me all the Waller. Right? I'm interested in buying low on Waller for sure. Gesicki, actually a little bit of an uptick here. 23 routes, 39 dropbacks, 3 targets, 2 for 23. So again, beggars can't be choosers, but hey, at least seeing him on the field for more than half the passing work is notable. Durham Smythe actually led in snaps with 40, but ran only 15 routes and no targets there. So, you know, Gesicki's going to be one of those guys I think I'm interested in buying low. I'm working on this rebuilding project. He's going to be a guy that I'm interested in buying low on him. For sure, just because he's going to hit free agency, and I think he's better than this. So, Minnesota, 25 routes on 41 dropbacks for Irv Smith, 3 for 23. He's taken over as a tight end one, but it's not a high-volume tight end one type of situation. He's not super productive, so that's really a trap profile. I think at tight end, you either need really productive, really high volume. Where the two of them mesh, you get an elite season, but when you get either one of them, like, you can produce a starter season, and Irv Smith doesn't really have either one of them. So, yeah, so that's for him. New England, Hunter Henry, 12 routes on 25 dropbacks, 4 targets, 2 for 13. Jonnu Smith left the game with an injured ankle, and then Hunter Henry basically played every snap after that. So we're watching the injury status on Jonnu Smith, and then maybe Hunter Henry taking a step forward. But, man, this is a really, really tough spot to be in to feel any sort of comfort starting Hunter Henry after a really good season last year. Adam Trautman led the team in snaps with 39 but ran only 10 routes. Again, this is more of a Juwan Johnson receiving-centric type of profile for this team. But ultimately, right, they're more in the tight end two, tight end three type conversation than they are anything sort of on the tight end one type landscape. But Trautman would be interesting, like, if he could see more routes. But he's playing a lot of snaps, just doing a lot of blocking. The Giants, Daniel Bellinger led the team in receptions, 3 for 23 on 9 routes. That's just incredible. 18 routes by Tanner Hudson, 18 routes on 22 dropbacks. He had 2 targets, 1 reception, 18 yards. He's a deep flyer, which would be what I would say. This team is pretty tepid in terms of their offensive, like, stability. Like, no one's ever healthy. This is like the second year where there's been zero health, any consistency in terms of actually playing from anyone of the receivers. So you see stuff like this where the tight ends get involved. I'm interested in, like, the Tanner Hudson. Let's see it for another week, probably. But if you're a 40 man or something like that, and you need a guy, like, Tanner Hudson's a guy that's actually providing some utility, at least adding some routes to the back end of your roster. Tyler Conklin, 3 for 52, 0 touchdowns. He ran 30 of 42 routes. So, again, north of a yard per route run. That's good. 5 targets for him. He's actually come on a bit in terms of some of the efficiency stuff. So that's actually good. I was, like, bailing, being like, I got to get out, with his production early on, just because it was so route-centric. It was just so route-centric and not in any way really production-centric that it gave me a lot of pause. The past 2 weeks, he's actually taken steps to mend some of that production stuff. He's up north of 1.0 yards per route run after being, like, in the 0.6 range a couple weeks ago. He's up to 1.18. Again, the PFF grade's pretty low. He's been targeted on 21. He's been targeted 26 times on 163 routes. So that's not even that, like, that's not a particularly high number, but he's running a lot of routes, right? When you look at it, the volume is, he's running more than 40 routes a game. Like, that's a lot of volume. So we'll see here in the Zach Wilson era what this offers for Tyler Conklin, but highly involved in the passing game. There's worse solution. I mean, I have him in a spot where Hunter Henry is my other guy, and Conklin's just kind of aggregating for me right now while we sort of figure it out. So, Uzama, 15 routes, 0 targets. Conklin's tight end 7 on the season. Jeremy Rucker, only 1 snap. So he's a firm long way off. If you're holding him in, like, 28-man roster, I think you can cut him. Goddard, tight end 8 on the season, 4th in yards with 240, 9th in catches. He's averaging 15 yards a catch. The touchdowns just haven't caught up to him yet. So we'll see here over the rest of the season sort of what that looks like. He's expected for 0.7 touchdowns. Again, that's like 27th in the at the position, so hasn't gotten that prime usage yet, but still, you know, he's still there, right? He's still, I think he's lurking with that upside, with that ceiling, right? He's still he's producing at a good clip. It just hasn't sort of gotten the optimized usage yet, and hopefully that will come. But again, he's 1.9 yards per route run. It's actually down from last year. So again, he's seeing more opportunities. Just need some stuff in the red zone for him to sort of cash in. Pat Freiermuth, 7 for 85 on 9 targets, participated on 25 of 34 dropbacks. He's tight end 6 on the season. Again, it doesn't feel super sexy, but he's on a pretty good he's doing a pretty good job this year. He's north of actually 2 yards per route run, so that's putting him in a whole different landscape of which I thought he was coming into the season. Again, the volume's going to be some of the concern. Like, just if you look at it, you compare him to Conklin. Conklin's run like 60 more routes than Freiermuth has run. So again, that's a big difference, right? So this has a little bit of a feel of like an early career Dallas Goedert type of situation, where Freiermuth was pretty good and actually took a bigger step forward than I thought he had in his range of outcomes for this year. We just sort of see that elite stuff coming out early in year one. He didn't really do that, and the situation didn't seem to be one that would elevate him, but all of a sudden it really has improved. He's like between 16-17% of his routes he's targeted on, and north of 2 yards per route run. So that's pretty good. Good PFF grade and the like there. So he's going to simmer sort of in that tight end one landscape, but I think could put himself in that category of guys that have a really high upside if he sort of continues on this arc, and maybe not necessarily at the highest ranges of position this year, but overall, at a really good efficiency clip, he could potentially put himself in a new landscape than we appreciated coming into the season. San Francisco plays Monday night. We need Kittle. Like, Monday night would be sort of made excellent by Stafford going 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, half a dozen catches for Higbee, and then like 10 for 123 and a touchdown for Kittle. Like, that's an ideal Monday night. That'd be a great Monday night. Looking forward to that. Disley playing ahead of Fant, 20 routes to 17 routes for Fant. Disley, 4 catches, 39 yards and a touchdown. Fant, 1 reception, 2 yards and a touchdown on his only target. Think Fant still buy low for contenders. Saw a third plus, like a small plus in some premium formats. I'm interested in that. Like, that's just, I think, a good deal. I'm not sure he's got an elite profile, but I'm interested in a pedigree buy low. Cameron Brate was hurt in the Tampa game. Cade Otton then came in and ran 29 routes. So he was the guy that was just primarily a blocker coming into this game. So he steps forward, goes 3 for 29. I'm interested in what he has to offer if there is a long-term Cameron Brate injury. It looks like a concussion. So I'm probably not going to run out and add Otton in my leagues, but I'm monitoring him as the week sort of goes along, and we're going to see sort of what the prognosis on Cameron Brate is. And if it looks like it's going to be maybe like a multi-week absence for him, I'm interested in Otton. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to stream him, but I'm interested in getting the look-see and having him on my roster in some spots. So more premium spots. I don't think he's got necessarily a non-premium profile to really do a ton with, but in some premium spots, I'm interested to get a look-see at what he's got. Chig Okongwu. It's been a while since rookie season. I think I had that down. I'm going to work on that. 3 for 38 and a touchdown, 5 routes. So maybe I don't necessarily need to work on it too much. Third in snaps, third in routes. Swaim, 40 routes, 10. Excuse me. Swaim, 40 snaps, 10 routes. Hooper, 20 snaps, 17 routes. It's pretty brutal. Okongwu should get factored in. Like, they should audition him over the rest of the season. This team's not going anywhere, I don't think. And, like, they should potentially work these guys in, because hey, maybe if they found something, in this draft with him, like, that actually could be a piece that they could build around going forward. Logan Thomas, definitely not the Logan Thomas archetype from this year. 32 routes, 45 dropbacks. Again, that's not the numbers that you need. 6 targets, 5 receptions, 19 yards. Bates ran 10 routes, 5 targets, 4 receptions, 19 yards. So they had a combined 9 catches for 38 yards out of the tight ends this week. That is a statistic. We'll just leave it at that. Thomas, much more on your tight end two type landscape. Him and Tanyan are right together in the mid tight end two. I think they're back to back at like 14 and 15 in points. And it's honestly like poetic justice that they are, because they're basically the same profiles at this point. So, all right, that's going to do it for this edition. Your tight end rundown here, 30 minutes. I'm not sure who else is doing 30 minutes of tight end snap reactions in any given week, but here you are. So this is what we provide to you. So I hope you're enjoying this and tuning along. Until next time, continue embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.